Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio once again for this edition of Inside the City, George Colum, who looks fit and tanned after a summer of occasional sun. How are you doing today, George?
Great. Thanks for having me.
So we're coming arguably toward the end of the golf season, and I know that we began with a sort of damp and cool May. Things got a little better in June, better in July. Where are we in August?
It's actually been a pretty good August so far. I know that their forecast for the next couple of weeks isn't great, and that always seems to be the case around this time of year, around the fair. So, you know, this weekend looks pretty good, though. It looks like we're going to have a decent weekend. I guess it's supposed to start raining sometime later today and for the next couple of days. But so far, it's been a decent August. The weather's been halfway decent, you know. We did have a pretty rough spring. The weather was not great in May, which is one of our prime months for getting started, you know. So it was really cool and quite a bit of wind. And it was hard to get new grass seed to germinate with that, you know, cold weather, because the ground temperature doesn't get up where you'd like it for optimal growth. So even though it was a really slow start, the course got in just amazing shape this year. I'm really proud of it.
Well, and the good news would be that a mix of some sun and enough rain and all, I know I can tell you that our personal course, which is our backyard grass, is incredible. I've never seen it as lush and green as it has been.
Yeah, we had quite a bit of early rain. May was pretty rainy this year, which is, I think, pretty unusual. In the 17 years I've been at Palmer Golf Course, most Mays are dry, and so we're really struggling to get the irrigation going. The ground's starting to thaw, and the course is really getting dehydrated, you know, coming out of winter. And so it's always that rush. Well, this year we had quite a bit of rain in May, so I think that's why everything is really lush at this point. It got really green early.
Yeah, very good. So we're looking ahead. Obviously, the Alaska State Fair has begun, and we know that for 12 days, there's a lot of focus on that. But during the fair time, historically, have you found that people have still taken a break from the fair and played golf?
A little bit. I'd say that we're a little bit slower during the fair than normal. Some of it's the fair traffic, I think, is a little bit of a deterrent for getting people to the golf course. Obviously, you got to drive in at that time, you know, through the fair traffic. And but we do get people who... the father drops the kids and family off at the fair and comes gets a quick 9 or 18 in.
Right.
And sometimes they do both. They'll come out and play with their family in the morning and then go to the fair in the afternoon. We get a little bit of that. And we have a pretty prestigious tournament coming up, not this weekend, but the Labor Day weekend, where we have the Alaska Team Match Play, which is the state pros against the top amateurs in the state. And a lot of them will bring their families out and take them to the fair after they play. So that's kind of neat.
Sure. Okay. Now, the other thing that's been happening around the golf course is a huge construction project associated with the resurfacing of the runway at the airport. Has that affected the golf course in any way?
Not too much. The only thing is they cleared a bunch of trees down on the far end by the 11th tee box, and they came in and cleared trees along the fence line there.
Right.
That were in the object free zone anyway. And that opened up that whole area and gives it more light.
Okay.
Down around the 10th green, 11th tee. So I think that'll be a good thing. That'll be a benefit to that area. Not that it's been in bad shape, but anytime you get more light, you know, into an area where you're trying to grow things, it's helpful.
So, okay. Yeah. Well, that's very good. Good. I know that it created a lot of dust. I did see dust flying into the air.
It did. There was a couple times where there was some dust, but they did a pretty good job, I think, of trying to keep it wetted down. And it wasn't too bad. And the wind didn't really blow during that time, which helped, you know, because if it got windy and it was blowing the wrong direction, it might have made it worse. But it actually worked out pretty well.
So right now, the weather appears to be moving in the direction that it typically moves. We call it fair weather, the end of August, a little bit of rain, some sun, and so on. Over the years, traditionally, how late into the fall and early winter has the golf course been open?
I would say that we, you know, it's hard to, I don't know if I have a great average, but we almost always are open until the beginning of November. Very rarely do we close permanently until after October 30th. Okay. It's pretty, you know, we pretty much always get through. There's been a few exceptions where we get an early snow and it won't go away, and then we end up closing down or it gets really cold. But usually we get into October and we start getting some heavy frosts, and we might get a little snow, and then it'll warm up and melt, and we can reopen. So it's kind of a little spotty, but I'd say we're pretty good about getting through October most years. And one year we even got into December. We stayed open continuously. That was in 2002. It was the longest golf season I think we'd ever had, and we got all the way into December that year. But it is pretty primitive golf at that time. You know, we're on a lot of temporary greens, and the course is frozen, and it doesn't hurt it to be on it, you know, but it's just kind of silly golf, but it's fun for people to get out anyway, you know, and play. And it's kind of a novel thing where you can play golf in Alaska in the winter, so people get into that.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, as you're talking about that, I had seen a movie recently about a golfer way back in the day in Scotland, whose father was a very good golfer. This was the early days of golf. Mm-hmm. And I remember, based upon a historical situation, where he designed some of the first golf courses. And I remember what was said to be an accurate depiction of early golf matches that were done in the snow, light snow, certainly, but they played whatever the weather. Mm-hmm. What's the worst weather you've ever played in?
I played in some pretty tough weather. One year we had a two-ball tournament at Palmer Golf Course, which might have been the worst weather I've ever played in. It was blowing 40 to 50 miles an hour and raining, and it was about 38, 39 degrees. And I thought we should have never played the afternoon round, but at that time, I wasn't in charge of it. So we ended up going out and playing that day, and it was tough. I mean, some of the flag sticks were so bent over that the actual cloth of the flag was hitting the ground. I've never played in anything like that before. Ooh. And we got through it, and people came in, and they were absolutely drenched, soaked. But it's kind of funny because, you know, those things, they're memories. You know, people talk about it, and, you know, it's one of those things that, wow, that's the worst round of golf weather-wise I've ever played. I've played some pretty tough weather, even in places like Las Vegas, where it's either really hot or really cold and windy. But, yeah, it's – I'd say that was probably the toughest one, was at Palmer Golf Course that day. That was rough.
Okay. Well, so now we've done that, let's look in the opposite direction and say – describe the finest weather that you have ever played golf in.
You know, that's a tough one because there's so many good days for golf all over the world that I've played. Whether, you know, I've played in Spain and Canada and all over the United States, Mexico, and you get so many good weather days. I go to Hawaii quite a bit in the winter, and the weather, of course, in Hawaii can be very good. But, you know, our weather can be unbelievably good here, too, in the summer, you know. Some of my favorite time to play is in the evening at Palmer Golf Course where, you know, you go out and the wind lays down, you tee it up at 6 o'clock at night and it's dead calm and the course isn't super busy. And I mean, just the scenery of that golf course with the mountains and the lighting at night is just different. Like, it's special. So I've always told people that's a great time to play is in the evening because it's not super crowded, especially for beginners, and you get such great weather. So to pick one specific date weather-wise, it would be tough to do. Usually it's a combination of the weather, who you're playing with, where you're playing that makes those things special, you know, like playing with my father before he passed away, you know, in Hawaii would be something special, and the weather's great. But so it's, you know, it's hard to put your finger on one particular thing. The bad weather is a little easier to pick out, you know. Yeah, that's a little more memorable.
Okay, I've got that. Well, it sounds to me, knowing that Alaska has, particularly in the summer, on good sunny days, weather that days that the wind isn't blowing a lot, almost the perfect kind of situation where it's warm but not too hot, where it's fresh. You've got this beautiful viewscape all around. So there, if you do one of those days here in Palmer, you may be playing at some of the finest weather to play golf in there is.
Oh, I totally agree because you can play someplace where it's really warm and humid and you're miserable. You know, the weather's warm, but you might be on the East Coast playing in the Carolinas or Florida in the summer, and the humidity is 95% or something, and you're just miserable out there. So I think with our humidity level in the summer, when it gets to be around 65 to 75 degrees, you have some great playing weather. I mean, you're not sweating too much. You're you know, even if it gets up sometimes near 80, it can get a little warm. But it's funny because when people come and visit from outside, they're just loving the weather, right? It's a little cooler. Sure. They may have come from down south in the middle of summer where it's super hot, and they get here and they're just, it's so refreshing for them, you know, and they feel like it's a little cool when it's, you know, 65 to 70, and we feel like that's pretty warm. So, but they really enjoy that weather when they're getting out of that heat down there.
So we're here in Alaska, not a place where we have year-round golf. And then, of course, there are major tournaments around the world, and there's national attention, international attention paid to what's happening. Just for a moment, I was wondering if you would comment about the state of golf. We're in the post-Tiger Woods era. We have a number of good, really good players out there. Probably, in my observation, no one has reached that level of attention that Tiger Woods had, both when he was playing golf and afterwards. So how would you describe what's happening nationally? Because I would suspect that people locally are influenced by that in one way or the other.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, when Tiger Woods came around, it was a unique situation, and he was so dominant that people become very interested in somebody who's that excellent at something, that they're so much better than everybody else. And now we have probably 5 to 7 guys on the tour who are pretty dominant. Like, they kind of win most of the tournaments, but it's not one particular guy. I mean, Jordan Spieth's very good. Dustin Johnson's very good. And Jason Day. And there's quite a bit. So in some ways, that's a little bit better for golf because you have more guys with a chance to win, and Tiger seemed to be winning every single tournament. And even though he had a huge fan base and was really great for golf, it's a different era right now. There's not one really super dominant player, you know, and of course the PGA Tour, they try to, you know, they want to hype their stars like right. in any sport. Right. So they try to build them up a little bit more than maybe they're at right now. I mean, Rory McIlroy is a great player, and, you know, they tout all these guys to be the next Tiger Woods or next Jack Nicklaus, but they got a long way to go to reach that level. I mean, the accomplishments of Tiger Woods, Jack Nicklaus, and some of these other guys that came along before are pretty special. Like, I don't know if you'll ever see anybody win at the rate that Tiger Woods did. It was unbelievable. I mean, at one point he was winning almost a quarter of the tournaments he plays in, and anybody that knows golf knows how difficult that is to do, especially against that kind of competition. So, but I'd say golf, the industry of golf, is doing pretty well. Obviously the economy's not great right now, especially in Alaska, but we're still holding our own, you know, we're doing okay. And, you know, people that are avid golfers are going to keep golfing, you know? And the nice thing about Palmer Golf Course is we're a municipal golf course. Our prices are really fair. You know, we keep our prices down, very affordable for families to play golf there. We have a program where juniors play for free. So, you know, we try to get them to come out and learn the game of golf and get involved, and their family can play, and it's not so expensive. You know, you might not have to spend $150, $200 for a family of four to play golf. You can do it, you know, for a reasonable rate. And there's all kinds of different deals. Like, you can play after 4 o'clock at night and it's half price green fees, and Tuesdays are 2-for-1 green fees, and Mondays are ladies' day, so they play for half price. So there's a lot of specials that you can do. And, you know, that makes it affordable. And that's what our golf course is all about, is it's something for the community. You know, it's an asset for Palmer, and it allows people to get out and do that kind of activity at an affordable price during the summer.
Well, we've talked about men in golf, and I know that here, well, everywhere, but here in Palmer, we have had women playing golf for a long, long time. How would you say the present state of attractiveness golf for women can be described?
I would say it's on the upturn big time. I mean, I've noticed over the years that way more ladies are playing golf than they used to. There was a big push, obviously, by the United States Golf Association, the PGA Tour, and all the golf courses to help grow the game of golf. And how are we going to increase the numbers of golfers? And of course, there were a lot of guys playing golf, right? It was kind of a guy's thing for a while. And then everybody started pushing for more ladies to play, more juniors to play, families to play. So that's really, it's had an influence. The ladies tour is really popular. They just did the Solheim Cup last week, and it's a super popular event that a lot of people watch. And I mean, if you've never watched ladies professional golf, you're missing out because they're very good. It's one of the sports that, you know, I think, you know, on the ladies tour, it's super appealing to watch. I mean, they're just, the skill level is really right up there. I mean, obviously they don't hit the ball as far as the top hitting guys, but they do hit it pretty far. It's impressive how far they hit the ball. So yeah, it's fun to watch, but yeah, I think ladies golf is definitely on an upturn, and it's important that we get more ladies playing golf and more juniors if we can, because that's the future of golf, really. You know, the guys have dominated it for quite a while, but now it's starting to become a little more diversified.
Okay, so we use the term future. Well, what does the future hold for changes at the Palmer Golf Course?
Well, you know, this year the course is the best I've ever seen it, and it's been an ongoing thing. You know, a golf course is a living thing, you know, and you're just constantly like trying to make improvements each year. And we've worked on the sand traps, improving sand traps. We've worked on the fairways were really decimated for quite a while. Our new irrigation system that we got a while back is really kicked in and helped. So now we're starting to kind of fine tune things, you know, things that the bigger projects seem to be kind of like under control, hopefully for now. And so now we're looking at things like, can we get liner in the ponds on 16 and 17? We have one pond that has a liner in it and it holds water for a long time. The other ones don't, and they drain out quickly. So that's a project that I'd like to address fairly soon. I just purchased some more tarps for some of our greens that we weren't covering. So we're going to have three more greens covered this year. Usually we only cover the holes along the river, and those have come out of winter great every year when they're under the covers, right? So right. Now I've got a cover for our first green, our fourth green, and our 17th green. So out of the six greens that weren't covered, now three more are going to be covered. And the tarps are pretty expensive. I mean, to get them here, it's about $1,000 a tarp.
Whoa.
Yeah, and so they're pretty spendy, but they're really well worth it because of what you get, your return. Grass on the greens comes around really quick and it's noticeable. So it's worth doing. You know, we're trying to get a new deck on the clubhouse. I know that's been an ongoing thing. We're trying to put that together and hopefully that gets done here at the end of summer. I've been doing some tree trimming, you know, kind of shrinking some of the trees. They get kind of a little bit large for the golf course. You know, they're kind of in the way. So we've been doing that lately. And, you know, some golf cart path restoration. We did wrap on the cart paths years ago, mm-hmm. and it made them great, but that's starting to kind of wear out. So hopefully we can get a little bit of material and improve the cart paths. But, you know, as far as one specific big project, we don't really have anything. It's just trying to maintain a golf course like we have right now, and it's sensational right now.
So you mentioned golf carts. I'm wondering, could you describe what proportion of people use carts and what people proportion like to walk?
I would say at Palmer Golf Course, it's probably 50-50 because it is a flat, easy walking golf course. So it really depends on the golf course you're at. If you're playing a course like the Creek at Moose Run, which is very hilly and long walks between the green and the next tee, a lot of people will ride there.
Okay.
But if you have a flatter golf course, a walker-friendly course, which we have, you get a lot more walkers.
Oh, that surprises me. I realized that I had no idea, but 50-50 is a pretty interesting split.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is about 50-50. We get, you know, even our men's club, which are mostly senior players, you know, I'd say about half of them will walk and half will ride, and, you know. So it's great. I mean, I think walking is better for your game if you can do it.
Right.
But obviously some people, you know, have some limitations on walking. So it's just nice that we offer the ability to walk that golf course. Some golf courses don't allow people to walk anymore. And I think that's a shame.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's right. Cart path or carts only. And some of that, I think sometimes is kind of a little bit of greed. You know, they want to make the money off of carts and they don't want people to be able to walk. But I think golf was meant to be a game where you walk, mm-hmm. and the carts are a nice convenience and they help people who have some limitations or handicaps. But, you know, I feel like golf courses should all pretty much always allow walkers. Now, there are some exceptions where you've got golf courses that are just not great for walking. You know, the distance between a green and a tee could be half a mile or something on some of these, right? So it would take you quite a while to walk.
Sure.
So, yeah, but overall, I think walking should always be, you know, pretty much allowed.
Okay. So I have to ask, when I have played occasionally at the course. I've noticed a fox or two. Are there still fox seen?
Yes, there are fox out there. What I haven't seen any lately, but what I see are their footprints in the sand traps. They like to get into the sand traps and dig around and play around in the sand traps. So you'll come out in the morning and see these little fox footprints in the sand traps. They occasionally like to steal golf balls off the golf course. We haven't had a real problem with that this year, but I've seen fox run out and grab a golf ball and run away with it because it kind of looks like an egg or whatever. Right. So they go grab it and then they take it back to their den. But I haven't seen a whole lot, but I've seen fox running along the top of the fence, which is interesting, on a chain link fence.
Wow.
They're pretty agile. It's amazing. You know, it's, you know, when you first see one, you think, oh, there's a dog. And then you realize they don't move like a dog. they move more like a cat, right?
Yeah, they have this silky. Yes,
yeah, yeah. So definitely that. But we have a few out there. There's always families of fox out there. And we're starting to get a little bit more waterfowl at the golf course with the ponds, trying to keep those up. And, you know, and we get quite a bit of ducks. We haven't had much else. I mean, we haven't had cranes or anything, but we get some ducks in the ponds. And but we don't, you know, Palmer Golf Course doesn't get a lot of big wildlife.
So moose don't come strolling through very often.
Occasionally, but really rare, and especially in the summer, we hardly ever get them.
Right.
It's mostly in the winter when nobody's around and it's quiet that they'll come through. But with the riverbank, the way it is, it's real steep. We have had a couple bears come on the course. We had a bear sighting this year, and last year we had a bear run across the 10th green and then get to the airport fence and turn around and go back down into the river. But it's pretty rare. Just the way that golf course is with the airport on one side and the river with the big bank on the other side and the farmland, it's kind of a buffer to keep some of the larger animals out of there, you know?
Sure.
But I was just at Moose Run a few weeks ago and played a tournament there, and there was a whole family of black bears standing on the 7th tee. So we had to wait, and they were playing in the grass and eating grass, and there were three cubs. It was really neat, but it could be dangerous. There's a lot of bears on those golf courses in Anchorage now.
Right, right. I understand that. Mike Malevsky, I've been here with George Collum, who runs the Palmer Golf Course. Any last comment before we finish up?
There's still quite a bit of summer left, you know. I mean, don't give up. The golf course is in great shape. We're, you know, I'm really happy with the way the course looks and plays. And we just had a 120 player club championship, which was a record last weekend. And people were loving the golf course. And, you know, I mean, the weather's going to be a little spotty here and there, but pick your times to come out. And there's some really good fall. I love fall golf up here. We get through September, it's usually pretty good, you know. And then, of course, October gets a little cold. But, yeah, try to get out and play some golf before the end.
Okay. Well, thank you, George.
All right.
Have a good day.
Thank you.